working Monday night, and Tuesday might not be quite right, so come by Sunday.
Hello.
Hi.
And
what's going on,
welcome
guys?
To Smashing Sundays, Mr. Tom Price. Comedian, actor, host of My Mate Brought a Toaster. Is it My Mate Brought a Toaster?
Yeah.
That'll do, yeah. It's close enough. If My Mate bought a toaster, actually, Pinder.
What did I say brought? He brought a toaster to your house.
Because My Mate refuses to use Amazon, so he brings his own toaster to the house. He'll bring one.
I think a podcast with more of a show and tell vibe could be quite good.
Yeah, I think we're onto something here.
Yeah, you bring kitchen utensils with you and appliances, and you go over what they mean to you. So I'm happy to do that as a spin-off show.
You can have it. I'll give you that, Tom Price.
Thank you.
So it's our friend and yours, Mr. Tom Price. Most people probably would know you from Magic Radio, Tom.
Yeah, I suppose they would know, wouldn't they? That's right. I've been doing... Well, how long have I done it for, Betty? Like 4 years, I think? 5 years? Something like that.
I've been a regular bloody listener for... When I wake up hungover on a weekend morning, it takes a lot for me to listen to commercial radio because I'm a six music girl. And you don't play a lot of the music that I... Well, I know you play some cracking power ballads and things, but you...
What are you talking about? We played Gorky's the other day. Come on.
Your chat is just great, Tom. I am genuinely a huge fan.
Oh, and I just love that when I first met you, Tom, and Beth used to say, oh, Tom can't, like if we wanted to like meet you or see you, and Beth would be like, Tom can't do Saturday mornings because he's got his magic show. I thought you were a magician.
Yeah. And the first time I met you, I thought I just couldn't, every time you'd say I've got my magic show then, I just had visions of you setting up a trestle table in Covent Garden.
Rabbit under my arm. It's really highlighted to me that I've always thought that being a DJ was a pretty cool job. But when I say I've got a magic show, and the various people in my life in the last 5 years who have raised an eyebrow at that and gone, holy shit, and looked at me in a completely different way. And then I've had to say, oh, no, I talk in between vanilla songs. They're so much less impressed with working on the radio than they would have been with me actually doing a magic show. Like, it's...
They're disappointed that you're not going to pull a rabbit out of
that. Mate, you live in the wrong fucking area, you do. That's because you live in Islington. So everyone's like, oh God, you're only on the radio. Well, that's a shame. I'm back in fucking Wales, mate, where like people are more impressed by stuff. And it's quite nice, actually.
Yeah, it is nice.
It's a different world. I'm back here for the first time in 13 years. And people are very excited by things I do here. And I'm like, makes a change, actually. Because in London, it's harder to impress people.
Yeah, it's nice, isn't it? Because it gives you that, it refuels that part of you that's sort of 17 years old. Because I remember that part of me was pretty nicely fueled up from that sort of thing of where you came from. And then I went to uni and then the big wide world, like drama school and things like that. And everyone couldn't give a shit.
Yeah.
Couldn't give a shit. So you kind of, it's nice to go and recharge and start to feel a bit special and interesting again. And then burst back out into the world and be crushed once more.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
It's a recycling thing. It's like an aluminium Coke can. It's good.
Do you find that because obviously you've done? I mean, you've done so much, Tom. You were in Torchwood, and you meet so many people. Like, who's the most? I want to get onto this. This off of us talking about being impressed by stuff. Yeah. I want to talk to you about. Didn't you do an advert with Mariah Carey?
Yeah, I spent 2 days in Barcelona with Mariah Carey.
I mean,
What was really funny then is Lucy was, we sat next to each other wearing conjoined headphones. And she just looked me dead in the eyes as she said that. And I thought, Lucy, I've never done an advert with Mariah Carey. What the fuck are you on about? And then I remembered that you had.
Somebody else.
And I thought, I'm really glad she's on it today.
Is why I said we should have Tom Price on. So basically, listeners who are sticking with us through this series of the podcast, this is our first foray into remote recordings.
Yes. It's only taken you 2 years.
I mean, but we always used to do it in the studio.
And we liked meeting someone in real life and
we'd
having
buy them
coffee
a cake.
Together. We'd buy them a cake. Yeah, and it was really nice. We loved doing it. It was a little ritual because nobody does this for the money. Well, I mean, some do now. I'm not Joe Rogan yet. You are very right wing though, Lucy, aren't you?
absolutely not anymore.
we do it for fun, right? So we like going to meet people, but now we've got to move with the times. You can't ask people to leave their house anymore. So we are just, I mean, Tom, we were in a writer's room together fucking years ago. And I mean, you I remember you teaching me my baby steps into the digital world, teaching me what a Google Doc was. And you lot used to call me Betty Nanville. And I have not moved on very much. Since then, we're stuck in the 90s.
Have you done a new Google Doc, or are you still on the same one?
I'm still on the same one.
Google Doc.
Do you not look in there? I'm always writing stuff in that Google Doc.
It's thousands of pages long now, just Betty's thoughts. I think that'd be great. You should publish that one day. Yeah. Just tweet a link to it and let everyone in.
You can do that when I die, and that's it.
Give me the
Like you could tweet a link as well.
I know, right? What the hell? But yeah, back to Mariah Carey, because Lucy's a big fan. Go on.
Well, basically, I went for advert casting, which is something that, you know, we've all done. And the guy directing it went, who is the biggest diva in the world? And I, weirdly, when you asked that question, I was like, I got it right. Normally, when people ask things like that, you know, when people tee you up for a thing and they want you to say a certain answer, my brain doesn't work like that. And I'll always say the wrong thing and I'll always disappoint them. You know, like that thing where people say, you won't guess how much this cost. And I'll always go way higher and sort of ruin the whole thing.
Yeah.
But for once in my life, I went, oh, Mariah Carey. And he went, bingo. She's doing an advert. You're not allowed to tell anyone because I just signed an NDA. We are filming an advert for, weirdly, Hostel World, which...
Because I bet she does stay in Hostel World.
No, she'll
world,
be staying in constantly, yeah.
Well, yeah, I mean, it also sounds very close to Hostile World, which certainly sums up her entourage pretty nicely.
Wow.
It was absolutely horrible. I mean, they basically give them a tank and they were enemy at the gates. They were absolutely vile.
Shit.
And so I had to play this guy working in a hostel where Mariah Carey rocks up. It's quite a nice idea. It's a neat idea for an advert. Suddenly, out of nowhere, Mariah Carey, the biggest diva in the world, arrives to stay at a hostel. That's the idea for the advert. But the reality of it was that we spent... I mean, I signed an NDA several years ago. I'm sure I could talk about this.
I mean,
now.
You might get arrested. They might her entourage might swoop in at any given moment. Tom.
I'd be so thrilled that her entourage are listening to this.
Yeah,
I'd just let the collateral damage, Tom, would be really with that.
Their entourage was so many that actually one in three people in the world are in their entourage. So it's very, the odds are with us, really.
If you're in London, you're never more than 3 feet away from Mariah Carey's entourage.
Talking of feet, one of her entourage was employed solely to powder her feet.
Wow.
Yeah. I mean, is this a good time to talk about the fact that I want Beth to start a foot fetish website?
I've got really nice feet.
Beth keeps getting people on Instagram asking her if they can buy pictures of her feet. Like, that could be my new job. I could just powder your feet.
Manage my feet. I've said to you, manage
my
feet.
Yeah, no, I will manage your feet. We'll take some pictures.
She'll take
some
fucking pictures, she does.
That's what chiropodry. They should really call themselves foot managers. It sounds better, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Foot manager?
Yeah, foot facilitator.
Yeah, I'm across all the toes. Really up to date on what's going on with the soul. Really good on that show. So basically, they filmed this advert and I had to go to Barcelona for 2 days.
Nice.
And it was only a two-day shoot. They had her for 2 days. I mean, they must have spent a fortune on her. And she was, I think, 9 hours late. And they had, over the first 2 days, they had something like 30 setups to do with her.
Oh, my God.
30 different places to get ready and film and blah. And we ended up doing three. Because she just couldn't cope with it. They took out a whole floor of the hotel for her family and her entourage. I was told off and aggressively pursued by one of her minders because I was literally so bored. You're pretty much. Now all I did was I just touched her on the tits, and they get so upset. To do it. No, I was looking at Twitter. I was looking at my Twitter because that's all I ever do now. Betty, you'll know this. I've spent a lot of time with me just staring at Twitter and longing for the sweet release of death. And I was doing that. And the entourage guy, the minder, who's massive, came over to me and said, you've got to turn that off now. And I was like, excuse me, I'm doing what? You need to turn that off right now.
Wow.
Why would I do that? No devices with cameras on it are allowed near Miss Carey.
Miss Carey. How was she with you?
I would say she was a difficult topic, Lucy, because actually she came out and talked not long afterwards about how ill she was. So I can't really be too kind of, she was distant and awful because actually she was having, a very bad time with her mental health. Very bad indeed. So we have to be all serious about that. But actually, yeah, she was fine.
Because I think with some of those people, it is the people around them.
Totally. Yeah, just like you, man. Betty's your gatekeeper, Lucy. If I want to get to you, I'll go through Betty.
She is my gatekeeper. Anyone listening, nightmare. You want to get to me, you get through Beth Granville.
Oh, I'm savage. Yeah. I'm absolutely savage.
She is. You are.
Famously.
I love that. I love that story, Tom.
Yeah, it's crazy, isn't it? It's crazy. But it's, you know, it was good fun. And I made a really good bunch of friends who were the actors playing the different people working at the hostel. And we've all stayed in touch on a WhatsApp
group.
And whenever Mariah Carey is in the news, that WhatsApp group comes to life.
That's amazing.
Every Christmas, are you all like singing All I Want for Christmas yes. into the WhatsApp group?
It's called Scary Carey.
Oh my God. It's fucking funny when you, because you think, there was that line, Tom also directed and produced my radio sitcom, right? Foiled. And do you remember that line we had, Tom, in one of the episodes, one of the series of Foiled, where Sabrina goes, someone talks about something in a WhatsApp group, and she goes, you're in another WhatsApp group. And when Tom just said that, I got this like pang of jealousy about, so hold on, how many other WhatsApp groups are you in? And I thought, you shouldn't think about this ever, but you think, God, of all the WhatsApp, are there any that I'd be really jealous of? Are there any that I should be in and want to be?
Oh, I'm
sure. It's weird
sure.
when you think about all those, and you're like, wonder what the fucking coolest WhatsApp group on the planet is.
What would it be? I mean, it would be like, well, for you two, it would be like anyone that was in Placebo.
Imagine Brian Molko in a WhatsApp group. A super WhatsApp group. Who would be in your super WhatsApp group? This is fucking
That's
great
good.
Show. This sounds like we planned this. I'm absolutely thrilled. I mean, we genuinely haven't. Go on.
But I've I don't know. I've just sent you a picture, by the way, Betty, of the WhatsApp group, of the Mariah Carey WhatsApp group. The thing that I would
great,
most like
great
to do...
Great podcast material, that. Sending
it's great. Enjoy that image. The thing that I think about is that, bearing in mind, Betty, how often you and I get on the WhatsApps together to... how can we say this? Discuss very... Well, yeah, more or less. And I wonder how often... And I don't wonder too much. Yeah, how much am I being slagged? Because in my head, genuinely, I'm not that paranoid because I don't think anyone gives... Genuinely gives a fuck about me, yeah. So I think I'd be quite shocked if I discover people going, oh, look at him on his fucking... Look at him on his skiing holiday, twat.
Yeah, yeah.
I just said that to your face, didn't I?
Yeah, no, you did. Yeah, that's why I was using it as a strong example. I got a message 2 days ago. Listen, if you're back from your skiing holiday, can you come and do my podcasts?
But jokes aside, I want to know, like, if you need time to think about it, that's fine, because we can come back at the end. But like, let's decide who would be in our super WhatsApp group.
That's it's too hard. It's a dinner party question. It's too hard. Like, if you how many are you allowed? Three?
I mean, it's not quantum physics, is it? We can come up with something.
Some people. Well, it depends what you want the WhatsApp group for.
Exactly.
Because I the problem is that I am a proper my
gossip.
WhatsApp. No, it's not the gossip. No, it's I'm a proper fart in a lift when it comes to my comments on WhatsApp groups. I will shut down the most free-flowing, hilarious. Gag-ridden WhatsApp group. Bing, bing, bing. Everyone's doing great gifts. Everyone's having a great time piling on the joke. It's all going really well. And I'll come along and it just... I am an absolute vibe killer.
But is that when you do... You know that horrible thing when you've been really busy, so you've missed a WhatsApp group. And then you come back in and you realise, well, this conversation was had like 5 hours ago and everything was very back and forth. And you're like, well, I can't just not say anything because it looks like I'm being really passive-aggressive. So then you just sort of... do that thing where you're basically just talking to yourself and someone like a day later might be like, oh, ha, ha, ha. And you're like, yeah, okay, thanks.
You're walking through the morning after, like you're the detritus of the party. Everyone's left, man. Everyone's left and you're walking through. Hey, guys, do you remember? Guys? Guys, it's horrendous. But I get that. I can't keep up with all the different groups and I can't keep up with trying to think of interesting things to say because I'm not naturally at all.
How many groups are you in, Tom?
Oh, fucking loads. More. I bet you're in more than me. I bet you're in more than me.
There's no way to find out, though, is there? There's no... Unless you literally go through counting them, which is like, I've got so much shit to do.
I probably only have about, like, 3 or 4 active ones.
No.
Like, you know, ones that are
Lucy.
Made... Yeah.
Oh, my
That's
God.
Sad, isn't it?
No, it's probably good, because you probably get their better quality, probably, than me and Tom spreading ourselves. I'm going to count, I am. And I'll sign up to the Patreon if you want to know how many WhatsApp groups I'm in.
Look, how many, here's a question for you.
Go on.
How many groups, Lucy,
yeah.
do you think Betty and I have in common? How many grips are we
Let me.
Well, you can think of this. I'm going to take my jumper off, so I've got to take my headphones off. So have a, you can have a good. How long does a jumper take off? I reckon you got 90. No, yeah,
one minute. I wish we had the money to put in the full Monty music there with Tom Price taking his jumper.
Oh my god, yeah.
How many that you're both in? One, two. Well, there's one, two.
I am back. Three.
Shit, I think you share four or five.
Do you know, Betty? Can you see?
Yeah, I can see it. Groups in common.
I'm just thinking of the jobs that you've done. What? 20. Yeah, but you've done, but that'll be like different groups for like.
There's one with a picture of Brian Molko as the icon.
Lovely stuff. we can't put that. You can put that on the Patreon.
Yeah.
Sorry, all the listeners are like, we're just looking through pictures on Beth's phone going, oh, that's a nice picture. Oh, that's
If anyone's still waiting. But yeah, 20 in common is a fucking joke. I'm going to put a message in all of those today and just see which ones.
Maybe I am in more than four. I'm really bad at like wildly estimating things.
Do you know how many groups we've got in common, Lucy?
Oh, me and you? I think we've got two.
One.
Oh, no, but have we not got a Smashing Sundays and one that's me, you, Beth and Jack? Or did we bin that? That's two. That's
I'm just going to give that a little love there. No, but I don't have a Smashing Sundays group with you.
Deleted it,
I might
have
left
support group.
I might have left it.
Did you leave it? How rude. But we got you on in the end, so who's laughing now?
Yay! Thanks for having me, guys.
Oh, I'm still sorry. My brain is still trying to think of the who's my dream WhatsApp. But it's what Tom said. It's like when people go, "What's your favourite song?" And it's like, "Sorry, are you mad? I don't have one favourite song."
No, obviously. But it would be cool. Let's do it to think about again. We'll just have, and maybe we could come back at the end with it. Like, you can pick sort of five people that you just think would be fucking great fun and invite you to cool shit and send some funny things through. That's what you want, isn't it? So we can come back to that. So what are you up to this week, Tom? Got any good news?
Got any my mate Drawwater toaster?
Any fights in cafes or anything?
Funny you should say that. My mate has brung a toaster is back. That's just dropped this week.
I love it. If no one's listened to it, this is such a good concept for a podcast. Your podcast. Oh, I bought a toaster. My mate bought a toaster. It's just so explain like the concept to them what don't know about it.
Okay, so basically, I get guests on and they open their Amazon accounts for me. So then I just go through their Amazon account. Because
do you
Amazon
actually
account,
look at it, or do you trust them to just list, or do you demand?
Oh, no, goes,
I have to have the password. Few guests haven't come on because they refuse to give me their password. I have to get their password, and also doing it remotely means that various people like Annika Rice, for example, were just sitting at home with a random man they've never met before, going through. I did one with Les Dennis, and I actually met him quite recently, and it reminded him of who I was. And he was like, "I remember you, mate. I remember sitting there, terrified.
Yeah,
terrified. The whole podcast that you were going to just nick stuff and buy random objects.
Oh, I'd be more worried about like what I bought. Well, there is that.
I mean, Les Dennis is my favourite. With him was a full dog grooming table.
That's hilarious.
That's
what
very
for?
Les
what
Dennis. Isn't it?
I mean, obviously, people love to go and listen to the episode to find out. Can you give us any hint about what he bought that for?
His dog.
He wanted to groom his own dog.
His wife.
I thought he was doing a course. No, like, as in, I thought, does he want to do, is he bored? He's doing a course on the side. Like, he's doing a night class. Yes.
Or is he doing it for charity? He's just,
it could have been a better story than he just wants to groom his own dog.
He wanted to groom his own dog. Yeah, it would be a great side hustle. It would be a great reality show. In fact, it probably is a dog grooming reality show. No, he said, I bought it. It went in the garage. And for my daughter, because we've got a Pomeranian or something, and she used it once. And that was the end of the story.
Yeah.
Great. Great, I know. Sorry, disappointing, isn't it?
Yeah,
sorry, guys. That's not a great EG of the pod.
So, guys, don't press pause on this and go straight over to that one now. Yeah. Stay with us, please. Tom's really sold this.
Yeah, you get better than that, I promise. I promise there's been a couple of good ones.
Has anyone done yours, Tom? Because it is. I've listened to a lot of episodes of yours. Like, it's sort of your podcast is. It's sort of what I tend to do with podcasts is I'll look through the list of guests. I'm sure I'm not unique in this. And I'll be like, oh, I want to hear from them. There's no podcast that I will just listen to every episode.
No, that's reasonable. That's reasonable.
And I just love the there's something about the vulnerability of your purchase history, which is why it would make people nervous. But such beautiful and fun stories come out. And what I do like about it is it is rough around the edges because there are some quite crap stories, really. Yeah. And so it's more rewarding when you get a lovely one because someone might be like, oh, I bought that because I was going to do it for a hobby. And then I think it was the Mel one where she was doing like a macrame or something. And then she just didn't end up doing it. Yeah. And I was like... okay, cool, like a bit of a partridge shrug. But then other ones are really rewarding when it's got a great story attached to it. So has anyone done yours? And if not, can I do it?
Well, I did do it at the end of the first series, but that was quite a while ago now. So I'm happy to go again if you want to come and interview me for that. That would be great. That'd be brilliant.
Yeah, you have to. If you're asking people to expose their purchase history, you've got to be willing to do it yourself.
I literally have to put my mouth where my money is or something like that.
It is
very nerve-wracking. And my favourite one was Rufus Sewell, actor Rufus Sewell.
Oh, my God. He is so gorgeous. Oh, yeah. God, like
things I would do to him.
I don't know anyone that doesn't fancy Rufus Sewell. Like, no one. Everyone. You say Rufus Sewell, they go, oh, yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
And he also...
Put him in the fucking WhatsApp group.
Yeah. Yes, please. Please send nudes.
As we go through the show today, we can just people
pop
will appear in our
pop
heads.
Them in. Write that one down.
Write that down, Lynn. So he came on. He had no idea. I'd been messaging him backwards and forwards on Twitter because I worked with him, and he is the most delightful, bouncy, enthusiastic toddler of a person, and he looks very brooding and serious and dangerous. It's all about the cheekbones. But actually, he's just this fucking child and he's wonderful. He's such a nice guy. I adore him. And he was a brilliant guest, but had no idea what the podcast was. And I've kept it in the episode. You can hear him. You can hear him for a long time going,
Why have I not listened to this episode? Why have I not spotted this one? We're going to listen to this today.
And it was great because the first thing I got from him was a magazine about cars. And then he went into a story about Kiefer Sutherland teaching him to drive.
Stop. Oh my God, I'd make him do it like Jack Bauer from 24 if he was teaching me to drive.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Damn it, Saul.
Damn it, Chloe. God, I was obsessed with 24. It's so problematic.
Brilliant. What a little gem.
Yes, it's great. Yeah, yeah. Not as good as this, though, guys, eh?
No, wow. we're really getting second-hand material here, aren't we? It's like the charity shop of podcasts. It's like, we're just... Right, I tell you what,
Tom, tell us your
best podcast. We're getting best bits of other people's podcasts. We'll retell them worse.
Yeah.
and then show pictures to each other.
Oh, my God, I think it's
pick of the week. It's podcast pick of the week.
Yeah. Oh, my God, I'm obsessed with listening to that now. My brain's gone to...
And you have, people can find you, obviously, on all of the main places. And you've got a Patreon where you reserve. How do you choose the episodes that you hold behind a paywall? Are they the worst ones or the best ones?
Yeah, they're just really shit. So people pay and they end up there.
Yeah, exactly.
What I do now with the paywall, because it is a difficult thing. You don't really want to keep your good stuff locked away.
Yeah.
So we're not all Rupert Murdoch. So what I do is I just delay it a couple of weeks. You just say to people, actually, it's £4 a month. And
so it's just like early access. It will eventually be
early access, and it's ad free. There's no longer any. There was at one stage I was putting stuff up that only lived on there, but it just wasn't worth it. And people didn't really want to come and listen to that. Who can blame them when there's so much good free stuff? For example, this. So now what I do is say, get on Patreon and you can support the podcast. And also, like, the money that I've got through Patreon is now paying for a booker, which is why I'm getting great guests.
Oh,
and you kind
nice.
Of say to people, if you chip in, then you're going to help me get Richard Osman one day eventually.
Yeah, and I think it's just it's those things, isn't it? Like, we, you know, it. I mean, not kind of, you know, get the violins out, but it to make a good podcast, like, it is quite time consuming, like, it's so fun, but it's that thing, like, we sat in the edit of we did a recording with Josh Pugh, which was like littered with technical faults, and we sat in the edit, and I was like, God, yeah, this is
a lot of labour, and it is one
so
of
lovely.
Love. No one's asking you to do it. It is a, you know, it's a passion project. But what's really nice is, and like I always do with, you know, your Alistair Greens, people that provide me with entertainment and content, I always like do the chuck them £3 for a coffee thing. You know, like, I do like supporting those things, and I sort of go when I can. I'm like, yeah, do you know what? You've made me belly laugh a lot this last month. Here's a at yeah. least a coffee, you know. And I yeah. think that it feels like a lot of people are being really supportive in that way with yeah. content, recognizing.
And I think,
and it's a big ask, because it's like, you think wages have gone up fuck all since the 90s for most people. Yet we've now have internet prices, we've got Netflix, we've got so many things to subscribe to and pay for, and your phone and all the things that were never part of your outgoings that are. And I think people are still really being generous with.
Yeah.
And I do think I listened to a I think Fern Cotton was on another podcast I was listening to, but she was kind of talking about just being in the public eye and how it can kind of like basically wreck people's heads, and how she. And she made a really good point about when she kind of went through like a bout of really bad mental health and just feeling really anxiety ridden and panicked about presenting. And she was like, I couldn't do my job. And she was like, I love the fact that I found, so her Happy Place podcast. She was like, it's really nice to make stuff for people that, you know, want to listen to it. So like, if you think of like telly and how everyone's so kind of, you know, we're all so critical of people that are kind of shoved down our throats on TV or wherever, it's quite nice to make content for those people. Like, you're going, we're not forcing ourselves on anyone. We just want to make this for the people that want to listen. And
yeah, I think that's true. Although I would say Fern Cotton's making a pretty penny from that podcast now.
Oh, but, yeah, definitely. She was
but
so...
But she deserves to.
Yeah.
It's great.
Yeah, and I think it's just nice, that thing of the way that we now consume things like podcasts and that kind of things that are kind of pay-per-view or whatever, but you're going, oh, I really like this, so I don't mind, you know.
But there's that model, isn't it? It's been around for years. If you've got, say... I think there was an article about Stuart Lee years ago, like 10, 15 years ago, saying if as long as he's got 50,000 fans or 100,000 fans, and each of those fans spends on average £1 each on him a year, then he's fine. Now, obviously, he's more than fine. You know, that's quite an extreme example. Stuart Lee has got a very hardcore mosh pit who adore him, including me, I might add. But there is that logic is now extended to podcasts. You know, it is possible to do what we're doing, because we're both the same sort of level of, you know, toaster and this, the same sort of level, really. I'm not making any money from it at all. But, you know, every now and again, there's a few hundred quid that comes in, and that's really nice. And the pleasure I get from putting it out there and from editing it together and making it sound good and taking out all the bits where I really ramble on a lot like this it's great. You know, I really enjoy it, and it does help with other stuff. Then you go and do radio, then you go and do auditions or whatever.
Keeps
you sharp. Exactly.
Have you got used to listening to your own voice though, Tom?
Oh, he fucking loves
Beth.
The sound of his own voice.
Oh, mate.
Mate, he's obsessed with the sound of his own voice.
It's a gift.
Gets
it's a gift.
Out of bed in the morning, doesn't it?
Yeah, more than that. It makes me stay in bed, let me tell you. Absolutely love it.
Oh God. Brilliant.
Can I hear more of my own? I never thought I'd hear myself say this. Can I hear more of my own voice, please? I've suffered. It's been a real journey for me listening to my own voice. And I think I was doing these cyber safety workshops recently, right? Because I'm doing, because I'm actually fucking smashing it. One of the jobs I do is drama workshops in school, as you know, Tom, because I've taught your son. Your lovely, lovely son. Very creative son. He's good at tableaus. So I was doing these cyber safety and cyber bullying workshops in schools. And it is something, you know, I sort of do sporadically. I pick up when I, you know, in between other jobs, you know, I like to keep my work varied, right? Mm. And working with kids is fucking funny and it's good fun, right? Anyway, I was doing these cyber safety and cyber bullying workshops, and I'm going on this real journey because I've got to learn loads of stuff myself. And I'm saying, yeah, keep everything on private. You know, guys, these things are going to stay out there forever. So really think carefully. And then cut to me later on, like myself drunk dancing at something. Well, that was a shame. But, you know, not practicing what I preach. Anyway, I was talking to them about, you know, what are the good sides of the internet, and teaching them about it being like the world. And I'm saying to these young people, you know, I didn't have the internet when I was growing up. I know I've had a bit of Botox and I look younger than I am, but I didn't have the access to this. And I was like, it's like the world, it's beautiful and it's exciting and there's so much to learn and so much fun to be had. And, you know, you have all this access, but there's scary stuff. There's dangers. We just need to be aware. You don't go on a safari without a person who knows what a safari is.
Yeah.
No pun.
And there is a browser called Safari.
Yeah. I thought really that after that. And I thought, I'm fucking class at this. Anyway, so what was really funny, this is a really long way of telling this, but I was going around and I said to them, the young people, I was like, all right, so what are some great things? What do we love doing on the internet? We're talking about Spotify and, you know, all the different things.
They were like wanking.
No, they were younger than that. Anyway, so then I said, oh, what are some of the bad sides maybe? Because what I don't like to do is, like, I'm not going to start talking about pedos. And they're like, do you know what I mean? I want to go, right, you tell me what you are aware of with the bad sides of things. How do we manage this? You know, so it's going on a journey of teaching them. Anyway, so you go around, some people are like, oh, strangers and hackers, mess. I'm doing in the valleys. So they're like, hackers, someone hacked into my Roblox before. Hackers, strangers, cyberbullying. Anyway, I went to these girls and I was like, I said, oh, what, girls, anything, you know, you want to add anything bad? And she went, yeah, when one of your own voice notes plays back to you.
Yes.
I was like, correct. The idea that that's up there with hacking for her. That was the worst thing that could happen on the internet to her was that. What's the really bad thing? Yeah, when you accidentally hear one of your own voice notes. And I told her.
Did they already have that hatred of their own voice?
Yes. It was really fascinating. So they're primary school.
Oh, God, that's
and she
really
just went, but we wouldn't have heard our own voices at primary school so much. I had a tape player I bought on a jumble sale at church when I was young, and I made my friends record a radio show with me.
Classic. All been there, mate.
Loved it then, I guess, the sound of my own voice. But it was just really interesting to see a really young person. I guess she was about like 9 or 10. She said, oh, when you accidentally listen to your own voice back. And I told her it was a universal feeling. But it just made me laugh that was the worst thing that could happen.
I bet you Anna Lumley doesn't hate her own voice.
She can go in the WhatsApp group. Imagine her voice notes.
Oh, yeah, okay, lovely.
Her voice notes in class. Hello, darling.
Oh, God, I love her so much. I met Joanna. I interviewed Joanna Lumley.
Did you?
Was she lovely?
Yeah. Oh, divine. Yeah. Absolutely.
Why wouldn't she be? Exactly. To be fair, when you've got a life like that, you're fucking Joanna Lumley. If you're a dick,
you're caramel personified.
Yeah,
aren't you?
She
Joanna Lumley.
Fucking
was she
great.
Was she? What? Tell us a bit about her. Tell us a little story.
Well,
for us.
The person who powdered her feet was so friendly, you know, just really nice. She was about to host the BAFTAs, I think.
Oh,
that's why she came in
to
plug that. And I think it was a bit of a car crash, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was terrible.
And so I sort of feel like I said to her something like, Joanna, you're going to nail this and you're going to do this every year and I'm going to see you next year to talk again about hosting the BAFTAs. Fucked it the next day.
Curses
so I feel like
voice.
A bit of a Lumley jinx.
Yeah, the opposite of a rabbit's foot.
Yeah.
John Price hexed Joanna Lumley.
Yeah.
There you go. Yeah.
Right. So anyone that's hosting the BAFTAs, do not go
and
on
she
magic.
She won't come in the fucking WhatsApp group now. Well,
that's she's got to go in the WhatsApp group for
Lumley
the voice notes alone.
Lumley has left the group. Joanna has left the group.
There's nothing more passive aggressive than.
That's why I'm
left.
In so many, because
you
never leave. Oh,
you
well,
never
want
to be the first person. If other people leave, you're like, oh, okay, sweet, I can leave.
There's one I'm in that I hate, and I don't know very many people in it, but I got added to it, and I won't say what the WhatsApp group's called in case people listen to it, but like I actually, and it gets really tense sometimes, and there was a time when I sort of didn't mind being quite voyeuristic, and now it's just muted and ignored because I.
Wow.
But I feel like I can't, it's sort of industry based and
when
I feel
you asked
like I
about
can't
how many
leave.
We're in. I was talking about active ones. Like I've muted there are so many in archive that I just don't
muted.
Even.
Yeah.
Sorry guys.
And then you leave those you can leave those many many moons later, right? Because the thing is if the problem is if they're active they're going to see you jump off, aren't they?
Yeah.
And there's nothing worse because people are going to discuss that as soon as you've gone. There's going to be side eyes as soon as you've left.
Yeah.
It's very tricky.
Love
it's
the
very
side
tricky
eyes
to get out.
Love the side eye. If someone
confirmed.
Hasn't replied to you, it's just the best one.
Oh, I won't let you. Yeah, if someone hasn't replied, just send in the eyes. It's apps. It's a mic. Yes, perfect.
I just did it for Bear. We do it. We do it, don't we, to each other a lot.
You side eyeing each other while I talk.
We're side
eyeing. Whenever you bring up skiing, I do it.
Can't see it under the goggles. It's fine.
How was skiing?
I was about to say,
you got 30 seconds on skiing because I fucking hate skiing.
Oh, mate, skiing was great. Good snow, bit of powder up top. really nice to hang out with my friends. I met some lovely lads.
Front. I thought you said fans.
them too. Yeah, it was okay. I think the problem was this year I decided to drive out there. And I have got an electric car, and the range on my electric car is supposedly 280 miles. But when it's full of kids and kit and it's cold, the range goes down to about 170 miles. So I thought the journey was going to take 9 hours, and it took 14.
Wow, ouch.
Which was really bad. But apart from that, it was great. Thanks, great skiing. See you there next year. Wish you were here.
You won't see me there next year.
Oh,
ever.
No.
I got taken skiing once.
Didn't you describe it as the worst week of your life?
Worst weekend of my life.
Yeah.
I stayed on the nursery slopes. I was in classes with kids. And,
oh, Betty.
It was while I was a nanny, actually, and they asked me to go. And I was like, oh, no, you don't understand. I'm working class.
Yeah.
I can't even enjoy it. It's too... Anyway, and there was one moment where I kept veering to the left, and this guy was just shouting at me, and I was like, mate, I'm not shit at skiing on purpose.
I'm just liberal.
I'm not good.
I'll always veer to the left.
Yeah. Oh, my God. Oh, well done, you two. I didn't even think that. But I think I had the wrong skis because I'd lied about my weight because I fancied the guy behind the thing.
You have to tell them your weight. See, I've never been skiing. I've only ever gone snowboarding once with the UK
only person
team.
Oh, I see. But doesn't that mean you're the only person from Winchester who's never been skiing?
Probably, yeah.
Famous for that, I'd
probably put money on that.
Yeah.
So you have to get wet. It's like when you go to the doctor for your contraceptive pill and they go, hop on the scales, and you go, oh, shit, I forgot I have to do that.
I just close my eyes. But yeah, so I lied about my weight because I had loads of padding on, so I thought I could be a size 6 under this.
they don't know. They don't know.
So anyway, I lied, and then I think I ended up with the wrong skis, so I kept going to the left. Anyway, all the kids that I was with, they progressed to the upper slopes, and I stayed because I just wasn't good enough, basically, and that's obviously a hazard. So then on the side, it was like, remember Gladiators? It was like it wasn't a button lift.
The dry slope.
No. It was in Verbier, so it was...
No, no, on Gladiators. Not where you were.
The Travelator, where you run up.
Oh, yes.
So you just step on it with your skis, because it's like for kids and me, and you just step on it and you just move up. Anyway, I landed on that and caused the biggest pile-up because I was just rolling from side to side and I couldn't get up. And one of the most beautiful men I've ever seen in my life had to drag me off it.
Oh, my God. I never tire of this thing.
It was about £70 for a hot chocolate. I mean, luckily I wasn't paying for my own stuff because I was there sort of in a work capacity. Yeah. They were like, do you want a photo with a Saint Bernard? I thought, well, not really. But I thought, oh, go on then.
I'd rather do that than
so
go
I had
skiing.
One. Went to pick, went to go.
So was he the most beautiful man you'd ever seen?
Beethoven was. So I had a picture of this fucking dog. And then I was like, oh, I'll... maybe I will get that for a laugh because that'll be funny up in the house. Me in my suit with a better dog. £90 they wanted for the picture.
Are you what?
Well, I know. I thought, well, who comes here? So people were taking the photos and then you go and pick them up from the shop.
Like at Thorpe Park on the ride.
Yeah. They're as funny. And it was £90. So needles to say, they had the last laugh because I didn't buy it. So I have no memories now of that skiing trip. But
did he drag? Can I just ask? Because every time you say, I think I ask you the same thing. Did he drag you off by your feet, by your ankles or your wrists?
Yeah, because if you imagine me veering to the left, I topple because there was a snowbank either side of the Gladiators Travelator thing. I'm lying on my side and I'm rolling from side to side, and my skis were sticking in the snow, so I couldn't physically get up. So I'm just screaming. And then I'm looking down the Travelator thing, right? And there's just this pile up and people are just going bang, bang, bang into each other. And then as people saw it was happening, people were jumping off to the left and right, and people were grabbing their kids.
Sorry, are you trying to tell me that skiing isn't fun? Because what you're describing is absolutely fun as fuck.
Oh, anyone watching that happening would have had such a fucking laugh.
Oh, Betty, this is what you do. This is why we do skiing, you know. It's an opportunity for the higher classes to feel, you know, like they have no power. That's why we like it.
Sadistic.
Yeah.
The only thing that's got more power than posh people is gravity. And every now and again, we just sort of like to dabble.
Oh my god!
I fucking hated it, and I did end up eventually on one of the bigger things, and I thought, if I am going to break something or injure myself, I really don't want it to be doing this. I want to be drunk in a bar,
falling off a table,
Coyote Ugly or something. Or do you know what I mean? I want to be in a mosh pit at a gig and I hurt myself doing something I actually enjoy.
My uncle James went skiing when we were younger, and I think my grandma phoned my dad and said, "Oh, James has broken his arm," and my dad, "Oh, that's skiing." She went, "No, they went for dinner and he fell off a step and broke his arm while they were on the ski holiday." And I was like, I'd have just
that's
lied.
Karma.
I'd have just lied. Yeah. I'd been like, yeah, no, I was on a really good, what you call
it? Yeah, I had to get airlifted out. Yeah. Yeah, it was an absolute bloody nightmare.
Thank God
we've got a helicopter, you know, because they can sort of come straight in and, you know, just lift me out.
I went on a skiing holiday years ago, my brothers, and there's a run in Switzerland called the Swiss Wall, and it is fucking steep.
Sounds dangerous to me. Very dangerous.
I think 8 people a year die on it. I skied it once and it was like, yeah, nailed it. Let's do it again. So we went and did it again. And the second time I got a bit carried away and I fell quite badly and I broke my thumb.
Because
there's a thing called skier's thumb where the belt of the stick, which is around your wrist, it bends back and takes your thumb with it.
That's fucking disgusting.
Yeah, it was heinous. What was even more heinous was my fucking prick brothers who both went, "It's not that bad," and both of them took it in turns to whack my thumb for the next 3 days. Oh, yeah, they're like, "It's not that bad," smack. Anyway,
hush, baby, I'm mad. Could you text or tweet? Was that the worst thing?
They just wanted to feel something. No, I couldn't. So then I went home and I went into hospital and they were like, "Oh yeah, that's broken." And they put me in this cast, this massive plaster cast up to my elbow, right? With my thumb stuck in the thumbs up position. This was at a time where I was gigging loads, and I had something like 6 weeks of full-on gigs ahead of me, one of which was an audition to do stand-up on TV, which I've literally never managed to do. No one has ever put me on TV doing stand-up because I am
really
not good at it.
I
went to this audition for stand-up and I had 15 minutes on the thumb and it was so fucking good, like it ripped. And the producer was like, "Yeah, but by the time you do this, you're going to be at the cast and you're going to have nothing."
Well, I hope
on the
so, mate.
Like,
yeah.
And I was like, "Put me back in the fucking cast for the show. I don't care. Christ, that'll become my thing. I'll just keep breaking my thumb if it means I'm funny." There's nothing funnier than standing on stage with a forced thumbs up. It really makes you work.
Genius. Yeah, that's fucking great. That's actually really annoying. Yeah, I would have been.
Honestly, that's what I'm saying.
Life. Yeah, that's horrible.
Skiing scuppered me.
So we decided no one's ever going skiing ever again.
Yes,
I'm not. You've not sold it to me, loves. I'll be honest.
I think we cancelled skiing.
We were going to have this little feature, weren't we? That we did once and then
haven't done
do
again.
But where it was sort of Lucy had this. She has this theory that nothing good happens after 2 a.m.
Unless
you're in
bed.
And I said I disagree with that. And then we had to pitch our things to our guest. And that we have to. Who do they go with?
He very much went with me.
Yeah, because it was Dan Thomas.
Yeah,
and Tom Price would go with you as well.
Yeah.
If we asked you the same That's thing, Tom Price,
true.
You'd agree. You're in bed by about 8, love, aren't you?
Oh my God! The other night.
What time did you stay out till?
There was one night I stayed out till 9:30.
Wow.
Which, to be fair, was 8:30 UK time. So.
We kept you out after a gig, didn't we? We kept you out till about 10.
No, fuck off. When we went to watch Good Day recently, I was absolutely shit-faced, smoking Betty's fags. At
you
about
did
two...
have a cigarette, you did.
Oh, it was great. And also those little small ones are much better for you. Kids
like
don't stop.
Diet Coke.
They're great.
Kids
I got home at about 2:30 in the morning.
You did not.
Which I can tell you, guys. I can tell you. You should be honoured. That is the latest I've ever been out. Not at Edinburgh since university. Edinburgh Festival, nothing counts. Everything changes.
I'm honoured, actually. I'm honoured.
But you, right, thank you. You should.
And
be
you had to prize yourself away, didn't you?
I had to prize myself away. I was having
prize yourself away.
I was having a really lovely time, but it felt like it was the time to go. But it was
the time to go. You were absolutely correct. See, that was one of my. I should have gone home at 2 a.m.
I should have gone home before that.
Yeah, we should have.
Where were we in the Lexington?
The Lexington
in Camden. Yeah, I sound
you
like
stayed
fucking
out,
Chris
didn't
Hoyles
you?
Now.
Oh, we stayed out. I think we stayed out till about 5 o'clock in the morning. It was hell, absolute hell. I like sleeping. I like doing other stuff in bed. I would rather be doing that after 2 a.m. than be like out dancing, having to get a cab.
And
I'm quite a little lazy thing, aren't I?
And I've had so many, I totally get that, of course. Well, and I don't stay out for the sake of it.
No.
I'm not like, oh, I have to stay out.
But are a rock star. You're very rock star energy, aren't you,
rock star energy. And I've had so many incredible times after 2 a.m.
We did say, Tom, that festivals don't count because like time is
said that.
No, me and Dan said that there isn't, time doesn't exist in festivals,
but there's nothing worse than the crushing tiredness you get at a festival.
Yeah,
you know, when you're just like, fuck, I'm exhausted, then you realize it's just because it's 2 o'clock in the afternoon, but then you just go to bed. That's fine.
That's why someone invented cocaine, wasn't it? It was that tiredness at festivals. Right, how do we get around this, because I've got a lot of bands I want to see.
How well, about let's dry out these plants. Yeah, keep talking, I'm interested. the person who first came up with coke did it surely not on coke. That's miraculous. The only way you'd come up with coke as an idea is by being on coke yourself.
Yeah, it is, isn't it?
I'm not up on my drugs trivia, but isn't cocaine was
in Coca-Cola,
just in Coca-Cola, was that the first time that they found in the 80s? Can you imagine?
Walkman, just coked up, walking around
and dying.
You like Phil Collins?
That's how they came up with Thatcherism. It'd be interesting to go through history and work out the things they had to have come up with whilst on coke. There are certain things that happen that you can only have been on coke to come up with those. The Channel Tunnel. You've got to be absolutely off your tits.
Every time I go under a tunnel that's underwater, I'm like, this is fucked.
Yeah.
And it's not an aquarium, sadly. That's the thing that always makes me cry. I want to see fishes. Oh, no,
I don't like the thought of being...
I'm quite claustrophobic as a person, I can't think about it too much.
Yeah, yes. I'm like that with aeroplanes. Yes, I just don't want to think
about it too much. Yeah, let's put a film on. Let's eat a disgusting meal and fucking get this.
But isn't that to stretch this analogy to Breaking Point? Isn't that how we all get through life?
Yeah.
Like basically, I'm constantly doing that about absolutely everything.
Yeah, it's coping mechanisms. Isn't
if
it?
I stop and think about the actual reality, then fuck.
Just don't do it. Don't do it.
It's really
step
overwhelming.
Away from that.
And like, I have, and I've had a bit of a, Tom, I know you've, we've spoken about children. You've got children. I don't have children, but my brother's just had 2 baby twins. And that it's very confronting, that sort of innocent baby thing that just makes you think about the world on a bigger scale that I would rather, in the way you've just articulated, avoid much of the time. Because I'm quite a living in the present person, but you can't help but think about their future and, all of our vulnerability and our insignificance in the world and that drive to protect them. And I think I love them so much, I feel like I'm going to fucking throw up.
Yeah.
I can't deal with it.
It's amazing. But I would say that the...
it wears off.
Well, it wears off. Eventually, you loathe them so much that they're going to end.
They're such little pricks. I can't wait for them to be little pricks. I can't with them at the moment.
I know.
When they smash my phone up, I'm like, I'm going to fucking smash your food chain up, lads.
Watch what I do to the fucking planet now.
Yeah.
But I would say that obviously climate change is unbelievably terrifying. Yeah. But that people have there is an element of it was ever thus. We have always been, we are programmed to be convinced the world's about to end. Every generation has thought that. Obviously, climate change is very different. I understand that.
And we're going to do it.
We are going
to. We're going to make it a reality.
Win.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know if we are. I think it will be sorted out, but it's going to be pretty tough. But. I think that what's good about kids is it forces you just to stay in the moment. Same with dogs. Like, my dog is absolutely about to die, but every day she's still there. So I'm like, it's fine, it's great, she's still here. I'm going to give her. You know, it forces you. It crunches you into the moment, which is always a good thing.
I got good at that about when I was 25. I was having such a good time. This isn't going to happen again because you only get one visa for Vancouver and these people are all here in this moment and we're probably never going to be in that. It was such a great experience of like, I'm not saying it was like Shantaram, but it was. and I just thought I've been really good at being in the present since then, just absorbing those moments.
Yeah, you're great at that. Aren't I terrible at it?
Yeah, like I'm not thinking of, like it, to the point, if somebody's like, oh, this will be great next time. And I'm like, can we just enjoy this and then think about that then? Because you don't know. So, yeah, you're right. And kids, you know, because kids are so present as well, it is nice. No, it is lovely. Yeah. It's just,
so like, every now and again you get a flash of reality and you go, whoa, 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 whoa. whoa, I'll just go on Twitter. That'll help.
Yeah, I'll just scroll endlessly and aimlessly for hours. There are so many things that my brain just like, I cannot think too much about landfill.
Oh, yeah.
Mm. Every time I put the bins
lateral
out,
lateral flow test.
Yeah, and you just think, this is just getting piled.
Oh, we were looking at
up.
Our lateral flows over Christmas, and me and Mum were just staring at all of this pile of them thinking, times this by how many fucking million? Yeah. And I was like, yeah, I actually just need to have a chocolate orange now and not think about that because, which are also covered in plastics. So that's a shame.
So delicious.
I couldn't get through Seaspiracy. I think I watched 30 minutes and I thought, oh no, this is really too anxiety inducing and I can't do anything to help or stop this because I'm not in government. So I was just
like
not going to watch it.
Anything like that, you know, there's a new film that's come out about a cow. Have you seen this?
No, what's it called?
Cow. And it's about a cow that they follow for like 5 years or something. And it's a documentary that, fucking hell, it's so bleak, guys. It's sort of, it's beautiful. It's not done in a kind of, this is gonna doom you out, guys. Get ready to go on a bleak roller coaster and end in a pool of your own tears, like a log flume, but with your own tears. It's not like that, but there are elements to it where the person doing it is saying, well, no farmyard cow has been followed like this in this way ever.
Is it a dairy cow?
It's a dairy cow, right. Yeah. Oh. But also, hang on, it's giving birth to it's dairy cow that's giving birth to more cows.
Yeah.
And the one thing that they said in this review is that, I haven't seen the film, there's no way I can watch this, the cow gets more and more anxious and more stressed every time they take its calves away.
Yeah.
Because it's learned from before. I know, right.
Ooh.
And people are like, have you watched that cow thing yet? And I'm like, absolutely fucking not. Are you fucking joking?
Yeah, you're fucking
are you joking?
The piss. Something Why I can do nothing that? About that's going to really, really distress me.
Yeah, I mean, I've not eaten beef for 2 years, guys. That's as good as I can do for this. That's
as much.
You know. And also, how human is that? The best thing I can do for you, animal, is not tear you to shreds and jam you into my mouth.
You're welcome. I know. It's like, I mean, Beth's been veggie like most of your life, haven't you? Mm. I've been veggie for about 10 years, but I still... Yeah. I don't really have milk, but I love butter, I love cheese, and I'm like, the dairy industry is a fucking hellscape.
Yeah,
it is, man. It is really, really bad.
Yeah,
and also,
dark.
All the vegan and vegetarian stuff is so good now.
Oh, so good.
So good. So there's always hope somewhere. You've just got to have a look for it and also be really naive, and then hope's there.
Yeah.
Hope for the best. Everything crossed. I'm going to... This is like... just seen the time because Tom Price, I could, and we do chat for fucking hours regularly.
I've got to get my children soon.
And you have to go, and we have to finish. I've just looked at the time and gone, shit. Can we quickly?
Have we done anything on the format of the show yet?
Nothing.
No, but we don't. It's very loose format, Tom Price.
Fine.
That is how we get around this.
Yeah.
Our haphazard approach to conversation. But in our last couple of minutes that we've got you for, we ask people. Not your standard Sunday. We all like a roast on a Sunday. That's fine. But
I had an anti-roast rant actually.
Did you? Let's hear that. Well, great. So because everyone keeps giving us the same Sunday, which is just a lion and a roast. And we're like, come on, guys.
Well,
hang on. Which is what a lion and a roast.
A lion.
A fucking lion. That's how people came up with a roast.
A lion and a roast.
Right, guys. Let's have all the fucking food in the world just on one fucking plate and cover it in gravy. That was an invention of someone on Coke. That was Victorian times. Everyone's coked off their tits. No, give me fucking potatoes, carrots, parsnips, Yorkshire pudding.
Meat juice,
loads of fucking meat, loads of Yorkshire pudding. Fucking whack some stuffing on there. I don't know, we'll fucking invent it.
Put something really hot, make the whole of our shack hot for hours.
Yeah.
No, I just think the routine of the roast is, look, guys, I don't want to be too fucking left-wing and snowflake about it.
Go on.
But it's a really interesting feminist read on the roast, which is that it's been put there on a Sunday because the patriarchy, men have realised women have got fuck all to do on a Sunday. So it's been invented. The roast is this
fucking
high...
everything's been invented.
Well, no, I know.
But I have never heard that before.
But it's there for the taking, isn't it? It's an obvious thing.
Yeah.
Because women on a Sunday, everyone's resting. We'll go to church.
Always
but actually,
playing football.
Right. So yeah. I grew up when me and my dad and my brothers would walk the dog and play rugby. My poor mum was stuck at home with this. The maintenance of a roast, well, we've got to have bread sauce. Who says that? All the men who never have to make it, which is really high maintenance. The way you've got to do the meat, the way you've got to do all the different, I was about to say sidebars. <That's not> side dishes. All the different elements to a roast. And then the clearing up afterwards, man. The whole thing is built to occupy women on a Sunday. It is so fucking obvious. And I also... This
did you come to this
true.
Yourself, or did you? Sorry, did you say you read this? Someone told
no,
you?
No, I came to this myself. The other thing about it is that you're always hungry after a roast. I have had
always,
massive roast.
You stretch your stomach
because you have so much and yeah. chicken and all this stuff, and I'm always a bit like, oh, I'm still. How am I peckish at 4 p.m.? It's not even that filling, and it's. If it was a thing, like in, say, Spain, is it paella where they all make and they all chuck stuff
yeah.
in? It's like this communal
thing. Yeah.
And it takes it, or making dal. There's this great thing about making dal where the pot is always on, and the family, not just the women, walk past and stir it, take it in turns to stir it. It's a communal thing. The roast, in my experience at least, is a woman having to stay in the kitchen for fucking hours to make a meal that doesn't leave you full.
So basically, we're only going to eat roasts that are cooked by men from now on.
No, I think surely the best thing to have on a Sunday is a buffet. It's a Sunday buffet, guys. You got to get a beige buffet out, and
a roast
everything...
is my favourite.
Wait, what's so your beige? Hang on, what's your beige buffet?
Well, everything talking... that's beige, pasties, crisps.
Thank you. No. I will only eat it if it's orange.
A cold spread. Yeah, that's really interesting, and you're so fucking right. And we grew up, and it was one every Sunday. My grandma had about 17 jobs, and she's still and bringing up children and then grandchildren, and was still spending hours. And my granddad would do bits towards it, you know, he'd chop the veg and he'd do, you know, whatever. But really, hours of labour, and it is my favourite meal, and it's really making me think about it now, because I love cooking a Sunday roast because I like cooking. I like putting, you know, Keris Matthews on Six Music. She can go in the fucking WhatsApp group. Keris Matthews on Six Music. And I'll just lose myself in it because I like spending a few... I find it quite meditative and I love cooking for friends. And I don't know if I've sort of, you know, taken ownership back of that or if I'm just a fucking slave to the patriarchy, but it's even worse. I'm enjoying it.
You love
it. But I also like getting into bed with shaved legs. I don't know what the fuck I like.
We're literally like,
when are we
being bad feminists and when are we just doing what we want to do?
There's surely a podcast in that, guys. I'll wait.
listen, you do have to go and get your children. So will you just tell us really quickly in under a minute your perfect Sunday and give us one track to add on to our Smashing Sunday playlist?
Okay, so my perfect Sunday is obviously a lie-in. It's Read the Paper. It's
what paper, hey, hun?
Come on.
Hello, Murdoch. Slagging him off earlier.
This is the problem, isn't it? Well, because the Sunday Times has got the best sport and I like the culture section.
Off. Right, we'll cut that.
Okay, bye.
For our friendship. You mean we'll cut our friendship?
Yeah, not the podcast.
Can I edit a friendship out of my life? And it would then be going out, it'd be going to the shops maybe, it'd be going to the park with the kids. Then there's got to be a bit of sport on as well for me to watch, whether it's Liverpool playing football, whether it's a bit of rugby, whether it's possibly even playing golf. I know, Betty, you'd love to talk about golf, but we are running low on time.
Right, let's do part two of the podcast where it's just about golf.
You joke, I am about to start a golf podcast. I absolutely love playing golf. Evening. I love it's like skiing. Two things I love. I just hate the other people that do it. And then my song, and then the evening watching something like Indiana Jones.
Oh my god! Everyone says the same.
Everyone.
Really?
Yeah, everyone's just like lying. Bit of time outdoors, maybe a bit of sport, maybe a roast dinner. Not anymore. Yes. And then like an old classic like Indiana Jones.
Comfort. Yeah. It's comfort. We need on Sunday.
God, maybe this is a really beautiful thing that we all have in common. Maybe the one thing in the UK we'll discover through this podcast that we can all fucking agree on is what a perfect Sunday is.
Yes.
In a country with such division and polarisation and all of that, maybe we just all want the same thing.
Oh my God, we're healing.
Society
right here.
We are the children.
Oh no, we can't pay.
Oh, ignore that. You should see how many songs I've put on my podcast. Oh
no,
my God,
because
me and
Beth always sing things to each other and we're like, oh, we can't do it on the podcast.
It's
so sad.
You can, it's fine. So anyway, favourite track, please, and then you can go. Lots of love.
I am totally obsessed with this musician. I didn't know about her until very, very recently. She appears on a track with Ben Folds, who I've loved for years and years. I eventually sort of went on a deep dive in Spotify and discovered Regina Spektor, who I think is just the... She's gone from not even being...
I've heard of. Regina
Oh my God,
Spector.
Regina Spector, you're going to absolutely love her. She's been compared to like Joni Mitchell.
Oh, wow.
She's kind of a bit folky, but not kind of. If you like things like Ben Folds and Belle and Sebastian, anything really melodic, you're going to love her. Loads of like Lin-Manuel Miranda's obsessed with her. He adores
what
her.
What track, Tom?
On the Radio by Regina Spector, because I do work on the radio.
Because I is on the radio.
And it's a fantastic track. How do you know it, Betty?
I don't know. I'm going to have a listen after this, and I'll tell you if I do or not, because quite often I don't know. Yeah.
Okay, thank you.
Tom Price, you're an absolute angel. Give your children my love.
Yeah, I will. They'll do a tableau back to you.
If they haven't been picked up by social services yet, because you're
running late.
Oh, they're in the minibus. Islington Council minibus with blacked out windows. Take them away. See you at 18.
Lots of love. Thanks for coming.
Thanks for coming. Bye. All the best. Kind regards.
Bye.
Ow!
Tom, what do I press now at the end? Do I press the red thing to stop it recording?
Yeah. Make sure it downloads though.
And we download over here. Do you download first
or stop first?
Yeah, you can stop, but in the bottom, hang on, wait. Oh, fuck, I haven't done clean. In the bottom, there's a thing that says, like, make sure you download.
Call me on the phone.
Click on
that. So if I click this,
just
if you decide to come on by, I'll be waiting all alone the whole week through. I'm on the town, but Sunday always gets me down. So come by Sunday, make it after 3. Come by Sunday and I'm on the town, but Sunday always gets me down. So come by Sunday, make it after 3. Come by Sunday.